From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. In a few minutes, a look at a primary race in Kentucky that might indicate which way the wind is blowing for establishment and Tea Party candidates.
But first to that huge telecom deal that was put together over the weekend. AT&T saying yesterday it wants to buy the nation's largest satellite TV company, DirecTV. The $48.5 billion deal would be another big shakeup for consumers following the announcement in February that Comcast and Time Warner Cable are trying to tie the knot. Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic. He's been following this story, and he joins us now from New York. Hi, Derek.
Hi there.
So AT&T is currently the second largest wireless carrier in the U.S. after Verizon. DirecTV has about 20 million U.S. subscribers. What does AT&T want out of this deal?
AT&T stands for American Telephone and Telegraph. I think it wants to be AT&T, American Telephone and Tablet and Television. Hmm. It is the second largest wireless carrier, like you said, the second largest mobile phone company. But it has a small pay TV business at a time when one of the most exciting places to be in telecom right now is in streaming video. Now you look at DirecTV. It's a huge pay TV provider with the most valuable asset in television, which is its NFL Sunday Ticket, the ability to watch any NFL game on your television or on your mobile device. The bet here, I think, is that the future of media isn't necessarily going to be video streamed to our televisions, but video streamed to our televisions and our tablets and our telephones. And then finally, I think that although pay TV is a mature market in the U.S., Latin American television is growing considerably faster. This is an emerging market for the industry, and DirecTV is rather strong there.
How does DirecTV benefit from getting together with AT&T?
Immediately, it benefits because it's getting a lot of money for its shareholders, and the market is stagnating for TV in the U.S. And so when the market's stagnating and you can't add people, all you can do is raise the price on them. And in fact, their most valuable asset, the NFL, is going to ask for more and more money because they know the power of live TV. They know that DirecTV is going to overpay, and if they don't overpay for the NFL, then somebody else will pay them an enormous amount of money too. So for DirecTV, it gets them into this TNT business as well. The ability to have video streamed to any of our devices. And I truly do think that as more of our mobile attention goes to video, it's extremely important to have the infrastructure and the deals ready so that you're the best place to watch video. You become you have a differentiated product to offer so that when I'm thinking about Verizon versus AT&T, I go to the company that I know can give me the sports and the other content that I want wherever I want it.
Well, but what about for something like broadband access, for internet access? Do we see the future, let's say that they do get together, AT&T and DirecTV, do we have wires coming into our house, or is it a satellite dish that gets all the information that way?
That's not entirely clear right now. You know, AT&T has its broadband, and they're going to try to buy more spectrum, I think, with some of their cash, which is one reason why this deal is structured to not use up so much of AT&T's cash. You know, AT&T has its own small television service called U-verse, which has, I think, 5 to 6 million subscribers. DirecTV is 20 million, like you said. So this takes AT&T from being a tiny player in the pay TV business to being the second biggest pay TV company in the United States after Comcast and Time Warner Cable, if that deal goes through.
Okay, well then let's talk about what this means for consumers, because there was a lot of worry with the Comcast Time Warner deal that this is going to be bad for consumers, that prices are going to go up with less competition in the marketplace. This would mean even less competition, wouldn't it?
It would mean even less competition. That's true. The argument on behalf of Comcast, the argument on behalf of AT&T, is that they're dealing with trying to strike arrangements with the entertainment companies like Disney, 21st Century Fox, that own all the stuff that we like to watch on TV. It's really, really important for listeners to understand that these entertainment companies are an oligopoly themselves. Hmm. There are only about 6 or 7 companies that own practically all of the entertainment and programming that we watch on TV. They have enormous bargaining power, and they ask these cable providers and satellite providers to pay a lot of money in exchange for their stuff because it's rather popular and there's not a lot of competition. So that's important to realize, because the argument on Comcast and AT&T's perspective is that the more scale we have, the better we're able to strike deals with the entertainment companies, the Disneys, the 21st Century Foxes, that make it cheaper for the end consumer. So in a really interesting way, they're arguing that as we move closer to monopoly on the cable provider side, on the pay TV provider side, it's actually better for consumers sitting on couches and watching TV or video on their mobile devices.
Well, are regulators going to buy that argument? Are the people in Washington who have to decide whether this deal can go through going to buy that?
We don't know. We have no idea. There's a lot of quotes today in today's papers from the FCC, which is just having the busiest 6 months in FCC history with Comcast and net neutrality and now this deal. We don't know. They're really not showing their hand here. So it's totally possible that this argument that I just made about the oligopoly and the entertainment companies paired with increasing scale on the cable providers is going to allow these deals to go through. But right now, we don't really have a good sense. My bet is 60-70% yes, both these deals do go through. We do have two behemoths in the pay TV business.
Well, you have to wonder what things are like today inside of a company like Dish Network, which is now thinking about what the future will hold for it. Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Thanks so much, as always.
Thank you. Good to be here.